All right, this is Frank Pastore on KKLA. That's how he starts. And every time he interviewed me, he started with this song.
Really?
I don't know if it was like he thought I was a maverick. Huh?
Hmm? Was it just or was this like his theme song?
No, I don't think
this
it's a theme
like
song.
This wasn't like the, I was going to say the Untouchables. Unbreakables. No. What is our song again?
Outsiders.
Outsiders.
Wow.
I knew it was someone who wasn't really accepted.
Folks, you're listening to the Drew Marshall Show, and this is just a moment for me. This is my
You're
half
a straight
hour.
Shooter. That's
is that
why.
It?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, no. On December 17th, my friend and my partner in crime, L.A.-based broadcaster Frank Pastore, died as a result of injury sustained in a terrible traffic accident 4 weeks earlier. And here's the deal. Before he left the show, during the show, obviously, he said on air, hey, you know, I could be driving on my bike down the 210 or whatever, and some idiot could cross over to the Diamond Lane and hit me, and my body parts could be splattered all over the road, and that's just my body, you know, just not my soul. I mean, I'll be present with God at that point in time. He said that on air the same night it actually happened. So that's pretty trippy. And then he was in a medically induced coma for a month, and you know, many of us thought he was going to pull through. It would be a long road to recovery, but we just thought he was going to pull through, you know, because he's Frank. He's Frank Pastore, you know. He's a big dude like myself. We're both 6'4", bald white guys, both had sports in our background. He was a former major league pitcher, and I never made the major leagues of anything. But we had the same headspace. It was so much fun talking to each other.
You did try to be a professional athlete, so there is that connection.
There is that connection, but I failed miserably. Here's a little comment on, I think that came in through email or might have been on Facebook. Claire Hoffpower, I think is her name. Thank you so much for introducing me to Frank Pastore. I've been listening to his show for several months before he was in the accident. He inspired me, and I feel like I knew him well enough, though we never met. I was saddened to hear of his death. Sorry for your loss. I know how much Frank was loved by many, and he will be missed. So, we are going to play this audio for you, folks. This is the first time Frank interviewed me. It was over the phone, and then I had him on my show, and then I went down to L.A., and I was in studio with him, and we were just goofy, just like two goofy boys, somewhat like Tim and I do each and every Saturday. So here is Frank Pastore interviewing Drew Marshall for the first time. I think this was back in 2010. Have a listen.
Reason right here at the Frank Pastore Show, and welcome aboard. A lot of you guys know I was in St. Louis recently for the International Christian Retailers Show. It's basically the big book convention, right? And I was going back there to plug my book, Shattered. And folks, listen, I had probably at least four different groups of people come up and say, you remind us so much of Drew Marshall. And I go, who's Drew Marshall? And they go, well, he's like the biggest Christian spiritual talk show guy in Canada. And I said, I never heard of him. He says, no, he's in Toronto. He's awesome. You need to have him on your show, and you guys need to hook up. And so I heard this from four different people. And so when we got back, that night, actually, I hopped online. And sure enough, there is a guy named Drew Marshall in Toronto, Canada. And he has got the most listened to spiritual talk show in all of Canada. And get this, he's a believer. And he's got a very interesting background. We'll talk about that. But Drew Marshall, it is a blast to have you on the Frank Pastore Show, bro. How are you?
Hey, listen, I want to start this whole thing off by asking you a big favor, Frank. Can you do me one?
I would, right out of the box. First thing, go ahead.
I want to hear you do your Albert the Jeweler / Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation.
Well, I'm so thankful this country is so great. I make these crosses that are red. How did you know to even ask that?
Listen, man, can you hook a brother up? I'm a little low on bling, you know? My wife and I don't have any gold to melt down and turn into crosses with rubies in the middle.
Yes. You know way too much about me if you know that. I love Albert. He's one of our big sponsors here on the show, and he makes custom jewelry. And I had a bunch of scrap gold that Gene and I, this was like 3-4 years ago, melted down and made a cross.
This isn't commercial time. We're talking to me here. It's about me right now.
That's all right. Enough about you. Let's talk about me.
Buddy,
what is this deal? They said that we're a lot alike and all that, and I'm thinking you were in pro sports. At least you tried to be. You're in NFL. I mean, how did all this happen, Drew?
Well, let's see. When I was born, I ate a lot of paint chips as a child, and ADD kicked in shortly after. By the way, Frank, you know what ADD stands for, right?
No.
Attention deficit. Boy, your hair looks good.
I don't have any hair,
sorry.
Bro.
I know.
Is it true you grew up in a funeral home?
Yeah, that was fun. I had I thought I had friends until I invited them over to play, and their parents said, no thanks. You know, we the odd friend that did come over, we'd grow up sort of playing hide-and-go-seek in the dark in the casket room. That was a lot of fun.
Oh,
when I
man.
Was young, I used to steal the hearse and drive up and down the main drag here in Toronto, and Beastie Boys popping out the back. You know, it was good.
Now, I imagine you had some interesting first dates then. I mean, did you take the hearse?
No, I had no dates because I grew up in a funeral home. The first date I had, I married her, man. That was it.
You also spent some time in California. I was reading your bio over on the drewmarshall.ca for Canada. And you spent some time in California as a rancher or a roper?
I fooled them, man. I said I was really good with horses, which I used to rodeo a little bit, and I was all right with horses, but I wasn't as good as I made myself out to be. Fancy that. And ended up at Wood Lake Ranch Christian Camp, which was owned by Hume Lake, and then I ended up working at Hume Lake for a whole lot of years. And
really?
Let me help you out with another sponsor here. Let's talk about a guy named Dewey Bertolini from none other than Masters College back in the day.
Oh, my. Now, see, I don't know the name, but of course I know Masters. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's
who is Dewey Bertolini?
Machine Gun MacArthur lives, eh?
Yes. Amen. He lives up there.
Yeah. I'm buddies with Candace Cameron, who I think is listening right now. Hello, Candace, DJ from Full House. We were talking earlier today, and she's a big fan of John MacArthur. Big fan.
Yeah.
So a little shout out from Candace to John MacArthur.
Yes, well, we all are. I mean, John's, you know, like a major pastor here. I mean, Bible teacher and all that kind of stuff. I had no idea you spent so much time in L.A.
Yeah, dude, I was just I was down there a couple of months ago.
Did you just say dude?
Yeah, is that bad? Sorry.
No, I'm just not bad, eh? So I didn't know you said dude in Toronto.
Oh, come on.
Really?
Stop it. We had lunch in some town. Was it Venice? Venice, I think, is where
it
is.
Yeah, down the beach.
Some schmicky restaurant that had no sign and no address out front. And when we got into, I was sitting there with lunch having lunch with Candace and Val, her husband, Valerie Burry, and a guy named John Ratzenberger. I just talked to Ratzy today. He might be listening as well. Ratzy, how you doing, buddy? Of course, Cliff Clavin from what was that show called? Cheers. And the Pixar guy. And Venice is a cool little joint, man. It's the kind of place where people wear sweaters over top of their shoulders with the sleeves tied, wear oversized sunglasses, and sit in the corner with their back against the wall, noticing people noticing them.
See, you have spent way too much time in L.A.
Yeah.
I want to know, here you are. How long have you been doing radio in Toronto, Drew?
We're coming into our eighth season.
Wow, see, so are we. Yeah.
Yeah, eighth season.
Yeah.
How many seasons did you pitch for the Reds, dude?
Just eight.
Eight seasons.
I extended careers for 8 years, bro. I did.
Do you ever come across Ron Robinson? He came in
of
just
course.
After you.
No. Ron actually drove one of my cars back his rookie year. Yeah, I know Ron. Red hair, lived at Visalia.
Yeah.
Good career. No, made a lot of money.
No, I used to date some relative of his a long time ago because I was living in Woodlake, which is right by Visalia. Talk about Moody Boulevard and Merle's Ice Cream Parlor. It was amazing times back then.
Tell me about, I mean, I got so many questions. This whole going to Australia thing.
Well, I don't know. It was a faith move, man. I get bored real easily, and so I said to my wife, what do you think? You want to do an international move? And we were doing all right with our marriage at the time. We've had an up-and-down road with that. And she said, sure. So that was like the first miracle. And next thing you know, we packed up sold our house, packed up 9 bags of clothes, 2 kids. The wife went to Australia with no job, no place to live, and ended up being there for 5 years.
So you came home and said, honey, I got this idea. I want to go where I have no job, and we're just going to show up in Australia.
Yep.
And you stayed for, you became an assistant pastor.
Yeah, but don't, shh. I can't have any fun picking on John MacArthur if people know that about me.
No. Listen, when we come back, though, I want to find out, because you didn't grow up in a Christian home, obviously. I didn't either. And so I want to find out, okay, how you came to the Lord. And then I also want to know, what is Christian radio like in Canada and the restrictions that are on you, what you can and can't talk about and all that kind of stuff, plus a whole bunch of other things. We're talking to Drew Marshall. He's host of the Drew Marshall Show in Canada. It's Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show. And he did some very interesting thing. He actually paid, and this is a whole other thing, he actually paid non-church people to go to church in order to blog about their experience. He even had a contest, you know, American Idol. He did Preacher Idol. He got in a lot of trouble for that. And then he did, you know, the whole singing thing, like Star Search and American Idol. He did another one, and this is So You Think God Wants You to Sing contest. Now, that sounds like an absolute hoot. All right, we're going to continue with Drew here at the intersection of faith and reason. It's the Frank Pastore Show, where you're listening and engaged at 99.5 KKLA. All right, 99.5 KKLA FM Los Angeles, the intersection of faith and reason here at the Frank Pastore Show. I have gotten emails from people saying, you ought to have Drew Marshall on the Frank Pastore Show. And you're saying, who's Drew Marshall? Same thing I said. Drew Marshall is the host of the most listened to Christian talk show in all of Canada, based out of Toronto. And Drew has a background in sports. He was never even played football, and he decided, hey, I'm going to be a professional punter. Ends up playing in semi-pro ball for years, had an interesting childhood, went to Australia out of a faith step, stayed there for 5 years as an assistant pastor, and, of course, does radio up in Toronto. And Drew, there are so many things that I want to ask you, but let's go back to just your testimony and just how you came to faith in Christ. I mean, I was an atheist for 27 years.
Yeah, no wonder you were an atheist or something. No, it wasn't even an atheist. What's that big fancy word you put in front of it? A real jerk of an atheist. What's the word again?
Obnoxious?
No, ascetic or ascetic.
Ascetic.
That's it.
Yes.
Is that like a...
How did you know
Jew?
That?
Is that like an angry Jew, ascetic Jew?
No.
I don't understand.
The guys with the dingles on the side? No.
Yeah. No, but you seriously, with the childhood you had, are you kidding me? Your mom married 4 or 5 times, abortion stuff, no affection going on, 12 houses, no stability, fear of abandonment.
Did you read my book? Did you read my book?
I know everything about you, man.
Dude, I know. It's like I was just telling Annie, the assistant, the engineer here, just like, this guy did his homework, man. He's like, knows my bio.
Yeah.
I'm scared. All right, so how did you grow up then? I showed you mine. You tell me yours.
I grew up in I was adopted as a child. My birth mother was, I don't know, 15, and my birth father was 16, 17. They gave me up for adoption, which turned out to be a good thing, because if I grew up with them, I would be dead. He was a con artist, a biker guy, Hell's Angel guy kind of deal, and so that's where I get that streak. And then I got growed up in a funeral home. That does a little number on your head. You know, I was 15 years old. I was picking up. My dad would wake me up in the middle of the night. He grew up on the farm, right? So
yeah.
There's chores to do, so he'd wake me up in the middle of the night and say, okay, let's go put your suit on. And we'd go out to homicide or suicide scenes and
really
pick up bodies with no heads on them and stuff. And
so like in the movie I See Dead People, you really did?
Yeah. Yeah, except they didn't talk to me much.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I was a pretty desensitized kid, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And we grew up at going to a United church up here, which is similar to, I don't know, maybe Methodist or something down there. You know, it's kind of you do church because it's a nice community thing to do. And it's kind of, you know, you have your religion in your back pocket kind of deal. And I knew there was more. But I started turning into a real rat bag of a kid. My parents sent me off to boarding school and to a Christian camp. And at the Jesus camp, I started seeing everybody, you know, who bought into the program. They were getting hugs from girls and ice cream cones after they made their commitments, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I waited till I was emotionally exhausted in a vulnerable state, and on the Friday night I bought into the program, and I got the hugs and the ice cream. So,
at what age was this?
I think it was about 16 or something like that.
All right, now I'm 53. How old are you?
Not?
That's not true. How old are you?
I'm 10 years younger than you.
Are you really? You're in your 40s and you're
yeah.
old? Oh, wow, okay. All right, so let me get this right. So
yeah.
On the Friday night, you get the hugs and the ice cream, and you become a Christian. You self-identify now as a Christian at 16.
Yeah, yeah. And then my life tanked. I got the story that's backwards. I didn't get the manual about how the life was supposed to go. I think what happened was I just, you know, it was around the same time period. I hadn't worked out all my issues and baggage, so I brought Jesus along with me on the ride, and he was like, "Okay, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. It's, you know, you're doing dumb things. It's going to get messy, but you know, let's giddy up."
So hit some of those high points. So this is at 16, and then we fast forward and you're doing radio, but I want to know all the middle stuff here. Because one of the things is that, I mean, I can already tell, we're similar in the sense that we try to be as real as we can.
We are not similar. You were a physically awkward kid who became a professional athlete, and I was a physically awkward kid who only became a semi-pro athlete. You were an okay student who went on to earn two master's degrees in philosophy, and I was a high school dropout who went on to dropping out of Bible college as well. You were a former atheist who became the host of the biggest Christian radio talk show in America. I'm the host of the biggest Christian radio show in Canada, and I'm thinking of becoming an atheist.
Well, okay, so we're not that much alike. But, dude, I mean, come on. I want to know some of the at 16, I mean, I've read your bio. You've done all – you kicked out of four schools, and you did this Australia thing with your wife and kids. And then
yeah.
And you've been a variety of things, a number of careers, and you've done this radio thing for the last 8 years. But I think people want to know, okay, so how does that happen?
Well, I think, you know, I'm the guy who, I don't know, I guess I saw Field of Dreams one too many times. If I build it, it'll come, and if I give it a whirl, it'll happen, right? And so I knew I was never a 9-to-5 factory worker dude. I tried that a few times and almost went postal. I just kept trying different things. I mean, I ran away to California on Christmas morning. My mom came in and found me packing, and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to California." So that kind of messed her up. And
wow.
I went down to that Hume Lake and Wood Lake and camp, and you know, I needed a break, man. Everyone knew my reputation up here, and I wasn't getting any breaks. So
but at least you went to a Christian camp, Drew.
Yeah, and it was a good move. It was a turning point in my life for sure. Came back, got into the football, almost made it. You know, I had the NFL and CFL tryouts, but I never made the show. And then tried to get on the fire department up here. But in Canada, we had the minority hiring rules where, you know, I couldn't get on because I wasn't a gay, black, cripple female. So I tried hard, but...
That didn't work.
No, I was an unsalted cracker, man. I couldn't make it. So then I got into the Christian camping stuff, you know, program director and, you know, got engaged. Actually, well, I knocked my girlfriend up and we got married, but we've been together for 21 years. And
amen.
And you know, it's had its ups and downs, but we're doing all right.
So
doing all right.
So on this whole Christian radio thing in Toronto, what is that like? What contrast? I mean, how did the gig happen? But then I'm most interested on. I'm wondering, could I do my show like I basically done today?
Yes,
up in Canada.
Yeah, we could. You could, because here's the deal. Everyone thinks, you know, we're walking around with the police who got swastikas on their arms and stuff, but that's not the deal. We've got this goofy hate crimes legislation and the hate crimes tribunal or whatever it is, human rights. I don't know. They're just,
Human Rights Commission. Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. I mean, you know, the politically correct stuff is going to come around and bite itself in the butt one of these days, and it's happening, and more people are frustrated. But the Christian, we just got permission a little while ago. I don't know how many years ago to have actually a Christian radio stations. So that was allowed. And your show would be fine up here. Well, let me think. Yeah, I think so, because what they do is they pipe in all the American rhetoric Jesus shows anyway. You know, we got MacArthur and who's the guy that says, "Now listen," all the time.
Charles Stanley.
Yeah.
Listen,
got him.
Listen, yep. Listen. Yeah, Georgia.
Yeah, so we've got all that stuff going on here. Yeah, I don't think, you know, we're not getting shut down. You'd be fine, man. You'd be fine. So anyway, I came back from Australia from pastoring. I was thinking about writing a book, but I'm not patient enough. I believe in story, but I'm not patient enough to write the stuff down. And I thought, man, if I knew what I knew about me, I would not want me to be pastoring still. So
right.
I pulled myself out of spiritual leadership and launched into this radio show. And this is not a ministry. This is just me stumbling through messy Christianity with the rest of us.
Drew, I want to know about you paying non-church people to go to church so that they would blog about the experience. I mean, it sounds brilliant to me. How'd that go?
It went well. It came out of a book, Hemet, I just had the guy on, Jim Henderson and Hemet the Atheist. I can't remember what it is.
Jim Henderson, the Muppet guy?
No,
he's dead.
No, that's what I said.
Oh, okay.
He said all the time. Yeah. I sold my soul on eBay, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
And this atheist guy was trying to raise money to go to university, and he put his soul up on eBay, and this Jim Henderson guy, Jesus guy, he bought a soul and said, "Oh, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to pay you to go to churches, and I want you to blog about it." And I thought, hey, listen, I'm going to steal that idea up here. So
yes.
I put an ad in the Toronto Star and found Sabrina the Pagan and Taylor the Agnostic. They split the bill. We went to five churches. We went to Stick in the Mud out in the country white folk churches, and we went to the happy, clappy, shiny chandelier churches. And, yeah, it was good. It was fantastic. A lot of good feedback on that one.
Would you say that Toronto is spiritually alive now? I mean, are there, you know, quote, vibrant churches, or is it sort of dead like Great Britain? I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's nowhere near dead like Great Britain. I get that. Quebec is dead.
Yes.
But it's not really part of Canada anyway.
But, hey, do you know where Trois-Rivières is? Three Rivers?
Yeah. Good.
I played double A in Trois-Rivières between Montreal and Quebec.
Yeah.
And they were violently French. And I remember I'm like, what, 18 or 19 years old in AA, and I can still remember the only thing I could order, because if you ordered anything that you couldn't pronounce properly, they would, like, bring you soup. You know what I mean? And so, oof and jambon. That's it. And un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq, seven. It was like, okay, cinq, oof, and jambon. And I had ham and eggs, like, you know, for 2 months.
Larry Norman told me a story once he had a gig out somewhere in Canada on the East Coast, but he thought he'd drive up to the West Coast or fly up there and then take the train across. And he said, you know, in his Larry Norman way, so I got on the train in, I don't know, Vancouver, and 3 days later I was in France.
It is.
Yeah.
Violently so.
Yeah, violently so.
Drew, listen, we got to take a break again. When we come back, I want to ask you about some of the other interesting things that you've done. This preacher idol thing. That's another great idea. We're talking to Drew Marshall. He's host of the Drew Marshall Show in Canada. It is Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show. And as someone just emailed, it sounds like Frank in Toronto. No. Drew's probably far more handsome, and he's 10 years younger. We'll do that straight ahead as we continue at the intersection of faith and reason on the Frank Pastore Show at 99.5 KKLA. All right, 99.5 KKLA FM Los Angeles, the intersection of faith and reason here at the Frank Pastore Show. I'm looking at the picture on Drew Marshall's website. Drew Marshall is the host of the Drew Marshall Show. It's on in Canada and Toronto on Saturdays. It's Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show. Got a bunch of emails from people saying you ought to have him on. Talked to a bunch of people who said, oh, you like Drew Marshall, you love him. I'm on his website. There's a picture of a guy, spread eagle, standing in front of looks like a glacier. He's totally nude. And Drew, it says above this picture, vulnerable before the Creator. Is that you? Is that you?
I can't tell you. Well, I could tell you, but you'd have to contact my lawyer.
Who took the picture?
I'm not telling you anything, man. All I know is that picture is the litmus test for whether you're going to like our show or not. If that picture offends you, then our show will certainly offend you.
I just scrolled my little cursor over it. It's not you.
Okay.
But you do it to scare people.
No, you know what? I do it because when people are vulnerable before the Creator, I mean messy vulnerable, really. We throw that word around a lot these days, but there's not many people doing it. Like I told Ravi Zacharias on my show Saturday that I am the closest I've ever been to chucking the faith.
Mm.
I told Candace that about half an hour ago, a couple of hours ago, and she was just about to go on the set on Make It or Break It, and it was a bad time to have that conversation. She just started crying.
So
this is vulnerable stuff, man. I mean, who else, you know? I mean, if you did that on your station with, you know, Salem, you'd be done, dude. Done.
So now I'm going into pastor mode. So what's going on in your life as to why you're ready to chuck the faith?
Oh, I'm sinning a lot and loving it. That's the answer you're going for, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's whatever answer you
want
to get.
Every apologist goes, no, you know what? It's not it's a longer conversation than right now. But I think my life would be a lot better if I had a sponsor like you named E. coli. Boy, would that help me out.
Yes, Sue Freeze, the termite lady. Yes.
Wow.
I love Sue.
E. coli.
Yeah.
That's a great
name
for a
business. It's E. coli. It's E. coli.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, I know. That's a whole nother issue. But see, don't distract me. Get back. I want to know, first of all, let me get you a launch on this. This whole preacher idol thing, tell me the story on that.
Well, it's trying to be, you know, creative with what we do on the show. And I thought, wow, you know, why don't we do something that, you know, what's it called again? American Idol, Canadian Idol. We used to have that up here, but our dollar's not doing quite as good. Actually, we're doing better than you
guys.
Yes,
you are.
Thanks. Yeah. What was I saying? ADD. Oh, Preacher Idol.
Yes.
We said, okay, we'd like anybody who thinks that they could maybe preach and maybe they want to get into that to send us some audition tapes, and then we'll narrow them down and we'll have a little contest. Well, that did not go over too well with the churches.
I think it's a great idea,
well,
though.
You know, but what this is the flack I got was, you can't turn preaching into a competition. Really? Have a look at how many churches are just down the road from each other.
Right.
Number two, they used to do that all the time. They'd have actual preaching competitions at theological
seminaries. I was just going to say that. Yeah. I mean, because why? Because they want to make sure you can connect with the audience and stay true to the message and keep the main thing and all that.
Sure, and I wish more kids who graduated from masters and Biola virus, you got all these viruses down there. I wish more of them, they would fail them, because they graduate and slaughter the most exciting book in the world, right?
Yes. So, anyway. Amen. No. So.
And the other heat I took was you can't have the thing with the word idol in it. You know
why?
Well, come on. Wait,
I'm getting the impression the churches up there are tighter than down here.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to get into that terminology with me, man. Holy cow. Holy cow. Hey, I just got a Facebook message from Chrissy Moran. You know who that is?
That sounds familiar.
She was one of the world's biggest porn stars. And Triple X Church and those guys got a hold of her. And,
yeah, Jerry Husson. Yeah.
She went back to the faith of her youth, and we've had her on the show a couple times. She is one of the coolest girls in the world. You should get her on your show. She is a gem. Anyway, she's listening down in L.A. somewhere.
Hi, Chrissy. How you doing? Yes, we will have you on. One of the things another thing that you see, your ADD is affecting mine is the problem here. Now we're like scrambled.
Yeah, but I don't have my jersey hanging over my fireplace in my house.
Tell me about you think God wants you to sing. What was that about?
There's a lot of people that are really blessed in the church, just not in singing. And no one's had what I can say in your show, but no one's had the fortitude to say to them,
yes,
stop. So we opened up a little competition, and I was ready to get all Simon Cowell on their backsides, but it didn't happen. I got all soft. I actually found some great singers, and the winner of the competition, we gave him a recording contract at a studio to record one radio-ready song. And, yeah, it was a lot of good. We had one lady. Hold on. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
We had a lady phone in. We did phone tryouts first and then send in stuff. We had online voting, the whole thing. And during the phone tryouts, this lady phones in. She's about, I don't know, Methuselah's age, okay? And she got the shaky voice and everything, and she's singing some Amazing Grace hymn or something. And it was just so sweet and so cool. And I said, thank you very much for that. That was great. And she said, listen, I listen to your show all the time, except I was in a coma 2 weeks ago, and I couldn't listen to it then. I'm so sorry. Anyway.
Did she win?
No, heck no. She was horrible.
All right. Well, you told that little nice lady, thank you so much, that she was horrible.
Yeah,
but then that's wonderful.
Well, you got to know the truth, man. You guys are all about the truth. You apologetics guys, you.
That's some of my background. I've done a lot of stuff, buddy.
Yeah?
Yeah. So go back to something. Your show is only on Saturdays. So what do you do Monday through Friday?
I work on the show. People say, what do you do all week? And then how do you get those guests on your show? We've had some killer guests over the years. I'm sure you'll bring those up just to make me look so good.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. And that's, yeah, there's a lot of it. I'm a one-man show, man. Your producer said, hey, can I get a hold of your producer? I said, you just did. You know,
so
the Dick Van Dyke of Christian radio.
All right, so Alice Cooper, James Brown, Kathy Lee Gifford, Marie Osmond, B.B. King, the high priest of the Church of Satan, the leader of Canada's polygamous colony, the high priest of the Wiccan Church in Canada, and you're known as the Howard Stern of Christian radio.
Yeah. Had a great interview with Larry King a few weeks ago. Well, it'd be a couple of months ago now. Boy, I like him.
Really? How'd that go?
It was good. You know, I mean, here he is. He's an agnostic, grew up Jewish, married to a Mormon. Hello.
And did you talk about spiritual things at all?
Yeah, talked about it. That was the gist of it. I mean, I do, you know, I respect them enough to do the research to ask them good questions to know that I know them.
Yes.
But then they know they're going to talk about spiritual stuff. And, you know, I said, you know, every time you have Dr. Graham on your show, it looks like, I was talking to Dr. Graham's publicist, A. Larry Ross. Larry and I are buddies, and what a nutcase he is. his medication, you know, you guys don't have nationwide health care, so it's hard to get those pills.
I'm so glad you brought that up. And so what is the buzz in Toronto regarding our, quote, health care reform?
Well, good idea, bad time to do it.
Really? That's generally the consensus?
Yeah. You guys are getting kicked out of your homes. You don't need health care. You need a roof.
Yeah. Hello. I know you need jobs.
Yeah.
Do you like the health care program up there?
It's all right.
Aight?
You know, it's like people think we just, you know, prance into the hospital and people, bring out a tray of hors d'oeuvres and a glass of Chardonnay and right this way, sir. But no, it's, you know, you're waiting 5-6 hours and to get... You know, anybody up here who's got money and pull,
yeah,
and they need something done, they go down to the States.
That's what I thought. Okay. So is it the DMV does medicine? Is that what it is?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
All right. Go back to the Billy Graham and the Larry King thing. You're going to say...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So Larry says to me, why don't you ask Larry if he's afraid of death? Because every time Dr. Graham's on the show, almost said Dr. King, wrong guy, they talk about death. So I said, Larry... it seems like, you know, you're afraid of death. Are you afraid of... I mean, do you see the way he dresses like Michael Jackson's kid in public? He's got the fake leather jackets and the pants. They're like Steve Urkel and, oh, man. Anyway, and, you know, he's married to a beautiful lady. She is gorgeous.
I thought they were getting a divorce.
Nah, they're not getting a divorce. Come on.
So are you breaking the inside scoop here? King's not to divorce?
No, it's public now. It's public. Yeah, I knew it wasn't... Sorry. I can't talk about this publicly. Anyway, he says... He says, I said, are you afraid of death? He says, no, I don't know. I can't say this on your show, but on mine, he said, you bet your backside I am.
Did he really?
Yeah. He's terrified of death. Sucks, eh?
Yeah. Oh, death, where is thy sting? I mean, that's sort of lost. But
yeah.
We've had, I've got a break coming up. Larry King, there was a story. Larry King was in a coffee shop, and a pastor that's planting a church in L.A. bumped into him. And same Steve Wilburn. And long story short, Steve and Larry had a conversation that lasted like 20 minutes. And Larry King basically said, young man, if you start a church in, L.A., I'll come. And and that's the rest of the story that we know. So, and you've talked to him since then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's... there's a reason he asks all those questions. Great questions. I mean, look, he's smart enough to know that in your country, you got to get God guests on your show because all y'all believe in God. As a matter of fact, God lives in the United States. We all know that.
Drew, we're going to take another break and continue with Drew Marshall. He is the host of the Drew Marshall Show in Canada and a ton of fun. And by the way, a wannabe professional comic. He's actually in school to study how to do that even better, and he's hilarious as it is. It is Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show. We'll link to all of it at frankpastory.com as we continue here at the intersection of faith and reason on 99.5 KKLA.
Well, there you go. We'll stop it there. There is a little bit more to that time, that interview. Man, it's just... It's so weird. Oh, sorry. You've been listening to The Drew Marshall Show. That was a recording. This is live. Hi. I'm Drew Marshall. This is Tim the Tool. And
how is that for you? Do you remember that conversation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Frank and I, you know, we really were two brothers from other mothers. And I was really ticked that I didn't find out until, you know, after the funeral.
Yeah.
I would have gone down to the funeral.
So, really?
Yeah. So anyway, if you just tuned in or you're wondering what was going on there, that was KKLA's Frank Pastore. That's basically the Salem's flagship station out of L.A. That's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Christian radio station in the world. And Frank's a former Major League Baseball player, and he's been hosting the show. He's been doing it for, I think, 9 years. I think it was just a year less than I had been doing mine.
No, you guys have been doing the same amount of time.
Was it the same amount of time?
Yeah,
right.
8 years at that point.
And, he interviewed me, and I interviewed him. We went back and forth, and every time I went down to L.A., I tried to hook up with him, and, it was a cool little thing. And then he was, I shared this at the beginning of the interview. During a show in November, he said, look, I could be driving down the freeway on my motorcycle, and some jerk could cross the diamond into the diamond lane or whatever and spread my body parts all over the road kind of thing. And that's exactly what happened to him. He was sideswiped by a car. He was in a medically induced coma. We all thought he was going to pull out of it, you know, by uphill battle for a long time. But we thought he'd be fine because he's Frank Pastore. I mean, he's bigger than life, you know. And he lost the battle. So, it was just, you know, to have those moments on air like that, it's like watching home videos
yeah.
of someone in your family that's
so
passed.
So you found it a little surreal listening to it?
Just crazy. Just really, really wild. So anyway, Let's move along because I'd like to lighten up a little bit. Lots coming up here on the Drew Marshall Show. So do me a favor, will you? Stay with us.
Seven out of 10 proctologists recommend listening to the Drew Marshall Show.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened-to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us, one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy 1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.